Hey family, this is Shannon Jackson, the People's Nurse. I am here in my very own studio with my fabulous team, and this is my story. So many people ask me all the time, who is Shannon Jackson today? Shannon Jackson is a registered nurse in my 30th year. July will be actually the actual official 30th year. I am a businesswoman, successful businesswoman, that I launched a consultant and motivational business. Actually, it launched originally in 2002, and I kind of laid it dormant because I was busy working as in executive roles for hospitals. And then in 2019, I had an aha moment where I took a step back and said, I need to start taking better care of myself. And that's when I then expanded the business and came up with the title, Living Your Life Without Limits, which was the foundation of me looking within myself. But what's so exciting about this is that through this business and through my career, I have been able to be impactful and effective in being a change agent, not only with organizations, but with many, many lives. And when I get the emails and the cards and the thank yous and the shout outs, it just brings me nothing but joy to see that I am walking in my purpose and that I'm destined to continue to do what I'm doing, but even on a broader scale. But guess what? That was not the Shannon I'm talking about now and how I started. So let me go back to the beginning, because hopefully it'll put some perspective on the different things that I've come through. And I want you to come on this journey with me and understand. There's a scripture that comes to mind to me that says, despise not small beginnings. And here it is. So Shannon Jackson was born October 11, 1969, in Compton, California. And at that time, Compton, California was heavy in the area of transitioning with drugs. And as I began to grow up in the community, the gangs from Bloods and Crips were heavily infested within the environment. And I lived with my grandmother, who was the matriarch of the family, and my mom. My dad was present but absent because he was on drugs and he lived in LA with my other grandmother. So I'd see him occasionally, every now and then, but he wasn't really active in my rearing. Grandmother was the foundation. We were brought up in church. You had to go to church. Sunday school, Bible study, children's church, all of those beautiful things. I can't say that I had a really bad childhood because my grandmother was so loving and open and my family was so well-knit. As a matter of fact, it was a community. Back then, the neighbors all knew each other. And you could borrow sugar and you could, your neighbors were your aunts, your play aunts, and everyone kind of got along. But fast forwarding, as I began to develop and grow, my grandmother was working with someone at the time, and they also attended church together, and they had a drill team. And this drill team, she told my grandmother, she said, you know, we want to keep the kids involved and active because the environment was changing rapidly with the gangs and the drugs and the Bloods and the Crips. So let's put them in something positive. And we've started this already. I think Shannon would be great with it. And my grandmother was like, are you sure? You know, I don't want any problems. You know, I got her kind of settled and in a right kind of a way. And her name was Kat. And Kat said, oh, everything's going to be good. Trust me, she's going to be good in good hands. And so I joined what they call the Carson Queenettes. I never forget it. It was a black uniform, black and red uniform, and very loving family. And they opened up this drill team. They had very talented people that were drummers and knew how to do drills. And it was a community. And you would go from city to city to compete. And here I am coming into this, and the drummers were pretty much a little bit older, you know, maybe 17, 18, some 19 in there, but that's who they had as drummers. And even though they were watching us like teenagers, nobody's watching 24 hours, right? And so you begin to date, you know, in there, and or think you dating or whatever you think you're doing, because you're so young, you really don't know what you're doing, but you're exploring. But I had a boyfriend. And during that time, you know, we started dating, and I was a virgin at the time I got into the Carson Queenettes. And he was a little older. He had a car, dressed good. He came from a really good family, a upper middle class family. And I was young. He knew I was young. I was kind of green, and I was just like holding on to his every word, you know what I mean? You know, just, oh my God, he's cute, he's this, he's that. And, you know, you trying to glue into that. So that day came one day, and I'll never forget this. I don't even know if I should say this on camera, but it's relevant to the story, at least to me. And one day we're in there, and I'm thinking we've done something. And he says, we haven't done anything yet. I'm like, oh, I can't remember like yesterday. I'm like, oh, I thought we did it already. How green I was. But then the actual act happened. So I was young, as I said, and within months of that, it was like yesterday, my grandmother took such great pride on the home and how things were. And she was really into fashion and decor. And her living room was like a showcase. And she had everything nice and in place. And I was sick as a dog. I was on the couch laying down, and I really wasn't feeling good. First of all, I wasn't supposed to be on the couch laying down, because I had one of those grandmothers, you lay in your room, you don't lay on the couch. Couch is where you sit and you entertain. You lay in your room. You know what I mean? You keep the dishes together, things like that. But I was so dog sick. I was laying on the couch and threw up and started crying. I was so emotional. I don't know if it was more emotional because what was going on in my body, or I was so emotional that I thought my grandma was going to get me because I threw up on her couch and her floor. So fast forwarding there, my grandmother worked in family planning, and she knew a lot about family planning. So she looked at me and she looked at what was going on, and she called my mom and she said, you know what, you need to take her to the doctor. I think she's pregnant. And lo and behold, I'm pregnant at the age of 15. Wow, 15. I really don't know who I am as a young girl, and now I'm getting ready to have a baby. Because abortion wasn't an option. It just wasn't. It wasn't what my family believed in. Although I felt very embarrassed and disappointed because I wasn't brought up to be pregnant. It's supposed to be a future going forward. So my mom and my grandmother said, listen, if you go to school, we're going to support you. And you know, we'll get through it. I had just got into Compton High School in my 10th grade year. Back then, high school was 10th, 11th, and 12th. And then somewhere along the way, I believe it changed to 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th, but I was already past that stage. So Compton School District had a really strict rule that I didn't know about, obviously, until I got pregnant, that if you are pregnant, that you could not attend the regular school, no matter which school you went to. At the time, there was Dominguez High School, there was Centennial High School, and there was Compton High School. So I was at Compton High School. And so because I was pregnant, even though I was in the early stages of my pregnancy, when they found out, I immediately had to go to an alternative school, which was called Harriet Tubman. So Harriet Tubman was a school that they had set up where pregnant teenagers would go there. And those that had maybe just had their babies and still in high school, they had like a little nursery and a little area to take care of those as well. But you could finish your high school credits, but you would do it in an area where they felt it was more therapeutic for you. And also safety-wise, because, you know, fights break out at school. And I don't know if something ever happened that make them do it that way, but when I came along, that's what it was. And looking back over it, I actually believe it was ideal. Because when you got in there, even though I was coming in with a lot of embarrassment, insecurities, disappointment in myself, disappointment in my family and how I let my mom down, my grandmother, and I'm the first one on the block in my age group to get pregnant and, you know, and all of those things that I was feeling, not really sure of what I was going to do. I thought it was great because at least I wasn't alone. I was with girls like me that you can call it a mistake, you can call it fast, whatever you want to call it. But it was people like me that at least can relate to where I was. But the beauty in it, and what's so interesting about my journey as I look back over it, despite the challenges that I faced at 15, insecure, low self-esteem, pregnant, obviously not getting ready to get married in no time soon, and not knowing what's going to happen, there was some plan, I believe, that was still yet divine. Because at this school is where life-changing things that I didn't even really understand at that age would take me to where I am today. So as I was going to the school, they had teachers there, well-established teachers, credentialed teachers, that taught us the regular academic classes. But they also had trades that you can go into, sewing, cooking. None of those interest me. And then they had what they called a CNA program. And a CNA program meant certified nurse assistant, for those that may be watching this don't know what that was at that time. And you could train as a CNA through this program and then sit for your board certification with California at that time and be able to get a job. So I met this beautiful lady, and I mean beautiful inside and out. Her name is Lillian Giles back then. And she was the nursing instructor for the program. She was a registered nurse, and I was one of her students in the class. So after I got pregnant and went to Harriet Tubman, went through her program, delivered my son there, and he went through that little nursery period there with me for a minute as well, and I was able to take that CNA class. So I'm now 16, 17, by the time I'm in her class and in her program and getting ready to graduate. And I have this aha kind of moment within myself that if I start working as a CNA, I don't think I'm going to go any further. Miss Giles was such an influence on how she was as an RN and how graceful she was. When we would go to the convalescent homes and go and see these patients, and how she poured into the students like myself and others. And she imparted wisdom and patience, as well as the other teachers that did that. I said, I want to be a nurse. She encouraged us to go. Even though we didn't know what we wanted to do, we didn't know if we could make it or whatever was going to happen. And then there was another instructor there named Andrew Washington. He was an English teacher, very astute, very sharp, very knowledgeable. And you know what he did? He helped me apply for a scholarship with Southern California Edison. Was running a scholarship program at that time that I would get some funds to be able to go to Compton Community College. and I got it. They had a dinner. Here I am now, one child right now, getting ready to graduate, and I got a scholarship and graduated with a 3.8. Wow. I'm feeling a little bit better about myself. So I go into Compton College, start taking my prerequisites, and I meet another person. Because what I didn't realize then that I realize now, that I never dealt with my issues of insecurity, feeling rejected, because my baby's father, who I thought, you got me pregnant, he gonna be my husband, that didn't pan out to be the case. He went into the military after I had my son, said he gonna make a life for us. He went in, I'm thinking I'm his girlfriend, future wife, and I'm on the street one day, actually visiting my aunt. She lived over by Bullis, and we lived on the west side. She lived on the east side. And I ran into one of his friends on the street, and he said, "Hey, how you doing?" I said, "I'm fine, how you doing?" Think of it. He said, "Man, there's something about Ralph." His name is Ralph Charles. And I'm like, "What?" You know, I'm looking like, "What is he talking about?" "Yeah, he got married." I felt somebody sucker punch me. Married? I thought I'm going to marry him. I just talked to him the other day on the phone. I called my girlfriend, Trina, who is one of my best friends today. She was working as the church secretary. And I'm bawling my eyes out. To them, one of them hard cries where I'm just bawling my eyes out. I cannot believe this man then went to the service, married somebody else, left me single with this son, and been talking to me like nothing ever happened. You think you're over something? It's important that you allow yourself to heal, whatever it is, so that you can go forward healthy and not repeat the same mistakes. I know that now, but I didn't know that then. Still growing myself, still learning myself. So what happens when I get to college? 4 years after having my son, I meet somebody else. Not really dealt with my insecurities, feeling what was wrong with me. Why he left me for somebody else. I thought this was this and not really dealing with that. Looking for love in all the wrong places. And got pregnant again. So now you have, meaning me, I have one son, 4 years old at this time. I have a new baby on the way. And I'm just getting into nursing school. I'm like, what is wrong with me? Why I keep making this mistake? What's the matter? I'm on welfare. I'm barely making it. And I just don't understand what's happening with me. But yet, there's one area that's working perfectly well. I'm still in school. But I'm a mess. I'm a mental mess. I'm an emotional mess. I don't really know who I am. And now I got two kids, no daddy support, trying to go to school, trying to raise the kid, trying to figure out my identity. All this stuff is going on. So at that time, we left the Baptist church, and my mom and my aunt took us to a small church called Sweet Hour Prayer. I love the name. And at Sweet Hour Prayer, they called it a deliverance church, a non-denominational, small, but it really spoke to the word and taught you, and they prayed for you and different things. And then one night, it was a Wednesday night Bible study, before we had gone, I was just feeling like so overwhelmed. I mean, I felt like stressed out. I got these kids, I ain't got no money, I got to study, I got this, I got that. My mind was just racing, just racing, just racing. Not feeling good, I'm feeling tired, I'm feeling burnt out, I'm feeling stressed out. I don't want it anymore. I forget it. I'd be better gone. I take a bunch of pills, just mixed pills that was around. But I go to church. And I sat on the back row because now this stuff is starting to affect me, all the stuff I've taken. And I'm there and I'm just there. I'm like numb. And the pastor senses something spiritually and calls me up and starts to pray with me. And I just fall out. Like, fallout. I'm foaming at the mouth. I'm crying. I'm just a mess. And I remember so clearly how she got on the floor with me and rocked me and said, "Saints, pray, pray, pray." That's how she said. This is so significant. I feel emotional about it. I was at that same church until she passed in 2020 because of the love and the support that I got spiritually. Wow. 36 years I was in the same ministry. Because that night, God did something miraculous in me. It's like I finally released and allowed myself to be healed. And I became laser focused from that day. Then this broken girl with two kids was able to walk across the stage at the age of 22. Youngest in my class, voted most inspirational and excitable. It was one of the biggest accomplishments in my life. And that's why I know I'm today walking in my purpose and in my truth. Because from that day forward, no matter what challenges I faced, and I still had some, I understood that if I had discipline, took accountability, and that's what I had to do, I shut it down. I said, I got to change my associations. I got to change my attitude towards me. I got to take ownership because these kids didn't have to ask to be here. So I got to quit being selfish, talking about taking myself and leaving that burden for somebody else to deal with when I created it out of my own challenges. And I bared down and I gave all of myself to building myself up. And when I graduated and I passed that RN, it was one of the happiest days of my life when I got that license and I was able to get off of welfare and I was able to keep going. Would you know, 4 years later, in the career of a nurse back then, they tell you, you are a novice until you're about 5 years. It takes you about 5 years to kind of get your wings together and be critical thinking and be able to execute and really be effective. That's what they tell us back then. You tell a nurse today, they say, I know it all now. Okay. But in 4 years, let me dial back for 1 second. After getting there at 22, at 23 years old, I used to work night shift because back then they put every new nurse on nights. You had to earn your wings to get to days. And those nurses were ruthless. They used to have the saying, nurses eat their young. They were ruthless. They were, You better be able to do it. I used to go to work an hour early on my own time to make sure I'm prepared because I'm like, they ain't gonna get me today. I'm gonna rattle it off. I'm gonna be pretty. I'm gonna be prepared. Just, you know, I didn't want to be defeated like that. So unbeknownst to me working nights, I got hired by Gwendolyn Moore, which was my first nurse manager, as a registered nurse. So I'm young. I got a registered nurse. I'm so happy. I can finally take care of myself. I'm off of welfare. Oh my God. I'm just like, life is good. So at 23, I get called to her office and I'm wondering, did I do something? Night shift. Does she even know who I am since she hired me? Another pivotal point in my life. So she hires me. She brings me in her office. She closed the door. She says, sit down. I'm like, oh, I must really be in trouble. And she told me to close the door. So usually when somebody tell you to close the door and it's a manager and they tell you to sit down, it's bad news. And she says to me, I see something in you. I don't say nothing. She said, I want to groom you to be my assistant nurse manager. And I do just like this. I go, who's she talking to? Now I know nobody in the room but me and her. She said, let me tell you the advantages and the disadvantages of the job. She said, I'm going to go on vacation for a week. I want you to think about it. And when I come back, I want you to give me your answer. Family, I went home, talked to my grandmother, and I was mocking Gwen. God rest her soul. I thought, is she crazy? I just got out of school. How in the world is she going to ask me to be an assistant nurse manager? So I'm talking about that. I said, Grandma, I don't know what's wrong with her. I didn't think she knew who I was. And my grandmother, being the woman that she was, and I such a matriarch and a strength, she didn't find it funny at all. She said, you don't see what I see. You don't see what others see. That's exactly her words. Why not you? So I said, Grandma, I said, okay, if she's really serious, I don't have to tell her about it anymore. She's gonna come and talk to me. So, fast forward, Gwen comes back from vacation. She calls me off, and this time, I know what she wants. I go in there. I say, she said, did you think about what I said? I said, I did. But yes, one thing, Gwen. You know I don't have no experience. You know that, right? She said, yeah, I know that. But I'm going to send you to school, and I'm going to train you. The one thing that I ask of you, always make the boss look good. Family, in that time, not only did I make her look good, within that 4-year period, I became a Nurse Merit Award winner at LAC USC Medical Center, which at that time was 1,100 licensed beds, and there were thousands of nurses there. And I was honored and privileged to be among them and to be awarded such an honor. 4 years! Unprecedented at that time. Why did I take the time to tell that story? Because that leadership role continued throughout my career, where I began to just grow and grow and grow. I left the county hospital, was recruited out into the private sector. And before the age of 30, I was a director of nursing. By the time I was in my mid or late 30s, I was a chief operating officer, chief nursing officer, running hospitals, only reporting to the CEO. And in his absence, I did his job. Just kept soaring. Went back to school, got my bachelor's degree, my graduate degree, public health certification. I'm certified nurse coach now, certified life coach. And the culmination of all of those things came perseverance. I used to be ashamed to tell this story about my beginning. Remember, I started with despise not small beginnings. But now I wear it as a badge of honor because it took grit and drive and vision and faith to pull out of the challenges and the struggles that I'd gone through. But I'm here today because of that 15-year-old girl who was broken. I have now reconciled with her. She no longer exists. And through all of that learning, school of hard knocks, formal education, spiritually birth, discipline, and accountability, I am the woman that I am today, and I love me some me. And my mission is to spread and impart into as many people as I can to live their life without limits, unafraid to step out, to make your stumbling blocks to become stepping stones, to go forward, see the glass half full. Time and chance happens to us all. Yes, I had to pull up. Yes, it hurt. Yes, sometimes lonely, sometimes fearful, but you keep going. And I believe when you have purpose inside of you, along with discipline and a bulldog grip, that you will not give up. You're going to reach your destination. And I also believe when there's truly a purpose, it's not just for you. It's to give it out. And that's what I do today. Through our street love ministry or outreach. I call it ministry, community outreach. We go from city to city. I'm so excited that this month, I'm going to be going to Belize next week. Summoned. Speak to the high school students. Speak to professionals. I'm going to be on 3 TV stations. So many wonderful things. We had a birth in a new promise last year, and it was sold out. And when I looked at the comments, they said, what do you want to do, improve? They said, make it bigger. And guess what? We're going to make it bigger this year. September 2022. So what I'm so proud of, above everything, that I am whole, that I am happy within, and that I understand my purpose. I want anybody that's listening to this, I want you to be a closer to your own destiny. What am I saying? There's many people when challenges come in their life, obstacles, they stop. They never finish. Have you ever met anybody like that? Forever going to school and never finish anything. Forever going to buy a house and never save up to get it. Forever going to do this and never finish anything. Be a closer to your goals. Put yourself in it, the same energy it took in other areas that you enjoyed in pleasure. It's going to take that same energy to pour back into you. And you're worth it. Hold on. Despite whatever you might be facing, whether you may be a teenage pregnancy right now, like I was, there's help. You can do it. Maybe you're a person that's in transition in life. So much has happened with the COVID. You don't know what's up or what's down. Get back up. Get going. Start. Write a vision for yourself. So I'm so excited where I am today because I know it's just going to continue to grow. I think that's my greatest accomplishment to date. And I've had awards, I've had plaques, but to find out who I am and to be able to walk in my purpose, not walk in somebody else's purpose, but be confident today, secure in my own skin, and can grace the room in the presence of anybody and not be intimidated is my greatest accomplishment. To God be the glory. And remember, family, love yourself. Take care of yourself, because guess what? You are absolutely worth it.